morning, Westgate. How's everybody doing? Well, let's worship. Come on.
Eternity, the giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth. King over all the universe, to you be the glory.
That's right!
And I'm alive because I'm alive in you. It's all because of Jesus, I'm alive. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead men's lives. And it's all because of Jesus, I'm alive.
Good news.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. I'm super glad you've chosen to worship with us this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Nick Ludwig. I'm the music and worship assistant here at Westgate. If you're a first, hello, Doug. If you're a first-time guest, super glad you're here. Live stream, hello. Glad you've chosen to tune in. We would love it if you'd fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and drop it in one of the bins at the back after the service. If you're a guest, you can go out to the Guest Services Center, and we have a small gift for you for saying thanks for spending the morning with us. I'm super excited to tell you about a couple of events coming up this week and in the coming weeks. On this Thursday, August 4th, is our Women's Night starting at 6, going to 8 p.m. It's a dinner, a talk. It'll be really great. Starting at 6 is dinner, and food will be available from 6 to 6:30. So if you're coming from work and you can't get there quite at 6, it's okay. Food will still be available for you. After that, Kendra Sankovich, our spiritual growth director, is going to talk about identity in Christ and how you can live in victoriously in that identity. So super excited, ladies. Not a night you want to miss. On that note, today is the last day to sign up for that event. It's $10 to register, and you can register online at our event page or on our app. On August 14th, we're having a Together Sunday. Super excited about that. We're going to have all ages together in this room at 9 a.m. and 10:45. Really important. Both services. In the past, we've done only one service for Together Sundays, but we're doing two this time. It's going to be really great. Family space will be available in the refinery. If you've got young kids and you think they're going to be a little bit too wiggly, you can take them over there. Kids Ministry will help you out, and it's going to be live streamed. On that Sunday as well, we have Hangout and Connect. You can go to the atrium between the services and have coffee and cookies and talk to people you know, don't know, get to know people and hang out. It's going to be really great. I'm going to turn things over to Lydia Erics and Maggie George, and they're going to talk about our partners.
Good morning, Westgate Chapel and online. I get the privilege to talk this morning about Partnership Sunday, which is today. If you remember last year, we invited all of our local partners, so our local people partners like the Fertigs and the Georges with Crew and Mindy Cross with FCA, and then our local organizations like That Neighborhood Church, Global Opportunities, Water for Ishmael, and the Pregnancy Center. We invited them out, and they shared with us about who they were, what they do, how God has been working with them, and ways that we as a church can support them. So we have invited them back today. They are out in the W Cafe after service, before service as well. You might have gotten a chance to speak with them, but after service as well to talk with you some more, to connect and provide ways for you to learn how you can better support them. But we wanted to create a little bit of space to check in with a few of them this morning. So I've invited Maggie up here with me to talk about that. So Maggie, can you tell us a little bit about some God moments that you've been seeing and how your church family has been involved in that as well?
Yeah, I'd love to. So thanks for the opportunity to do that. My name's Maggie George, and my husband and I, along with Mark and Erica Fertig, serve with Crew. And our desire in Crew is that every high school student and college student and faculty and staff member that work in those places would have an opportunity to hear the gospel and respond to Jesus and to become lifelong multiplying disciples. We all work in a variety of roles. We invite you to ask us about those things. But Eric and I work specifically with our students at the University of Toledo. And so one of the things that's really beautiful and special about having a partnership church like Westgate Chapel is Westgate just does an incredible job of lending belief and encouragement and resources to organizations like Crew. You know, about 14 months ago, our students and our staff were heading into our summer breaks, kind of coming out of a difficult season of life in ministry. And part of that included COVID and separation from one another and things like that. Normally, when we go into our summers, our students head out in a variety of directions, but last year it felt like something had really changed. And we had a lot of students that were staying in Toledo, and so many of them were just desiring to be connected with each other and to be connected with the Lord and walk with the Lord together. And so Westgate came alongside us and generously offered us just the use of the building for the entire summer. Every week, pretty much, we were able to meet here and study the word together, pray for each other, and do life alongside one another. And that was really, it was so much more than just providing a meeting space. What happened during that time was, it created an environment for growth and flourishing and trusting one another and unity, and that carried over into the entire school year. Our student leaders especially just were ready to be on mission together, reaching other students together because of the oneness and the trust that they had developed over that summer. It's even carried over into this summer. One of our teammates who is currently leading our Summer Connect ministry shared with us recently about how there was a student who drove 2 hours this week to come to Summer Connect because he just desired to be in a community of people, to study the word, and to learn about the Lord. So, it's an incredible blessing. Like, Westgate is just so good and generous at offering resources, whether it's the use of a facility or financial partnership, or, you know, praying for us on a monthly basis. Like, we know that goes on, and we're so thankful for that and for your guys' care. So I think I can say that on behalf of the George family and the Fertig family and all of crew, we're just so thankful for you guys.
Thanks, Maggie. Can you share with us how can your church family can continue to support the work that you're doing?
Yeah. So out in the W Cafe, I think that there's some guides with like some printed things on there, but I'm just going to highlight a couple things. One would be, we would love to invite you all to pray with us this year. And you could do that by choosing a college campus, whatever's convenient to you, and doing a prayer walk there. Or if you're not able to do that, even just a prayer drive. Drive around the perimeter of the campus or through the campus and ask the Lord that during this academic year that the hearts and the minds of the people there would be moved to care about the things of the kingdom. I encourage you to please be familiar with the parking policies wherever you choose to go. I would hate for somebody to get a parking violation because you were prayer walking the campus, but check in with those things on their websites and then pray with us, because it is not a small thing to do that. Another thing that I thought I'd mention is one of the things that we love about being on staff with crew is that it's an easy way to be a family on mission together. And so that means that we often take our children, those of us who have children, we take our children with us when we do ministry. And one of those environments would be our fall retreat that we have coming up in September. And we love for our kids to be around college students who love Jesus. It's such a rich environment. And also, it can be challenging to have like really heart-level, intentional, spiritual conversations with the college students that are there and parent well at the same time. So what we are hoping we could make happen is to provide some type of childcare for the, I think, 14 children under the age of 11 who will be participating with us that weekend, where we just know that they are safe and cared for, but the crew staff, who are also parents, could be just engaging with our students, like I said, at that heart level, spiritual conversation level during some key points of the retreat. So if you are at all curious about that, I'd invite you to come talk to Erica or me out in the W Cafe just to learn about the idea. You would not be signing up for anything or committing to anything. It would just be a discussion.
Thanks, Maggie. We also had the opportunity to talk with a few of you who have been volunteering your time with Global Opportunities and Water for Ishmael. So we put together a video, so let's check it out.
There are several hundred students from other countries who are attending the University of Toledo and other local universities, and many of these students are from countries where they grow up not knowing a single Jesus follower. Our partners, Global Opportunities and Water for Ishmael, provide a way for American families or American individuals to connect with these students, and they don't ask us to do anything special with these students. We just get together with them once a month. We have done things with them like just drive around Toledo and look at the Christmas lights. And that led to a conversation with one of our students about, you know, what is Christmas all about? I've been in stores and I see Santas and I see decorations and stuff. I see a lot of lights around, but what is Christmas? And that led to an hour-long conversation about why Jesus came, who Jesus is, and ended up with our student us being able to give them a copy of the Gospel of John.
It's important for them to see Jesus' love through you, whether you discuss it or not. You know, we didn't make it a point to push religion on them. However, we talked about religion often. Yeah. So, and also just showing kindness and showing Jesus through your actions, really. It's just about inviting them along with you to all the things you're already doing. So, running the girls to their concerts. Hey, do you want to go to a concert? Do you want to go to, you know, there's a parade in Sylvania. So we just really just brought them to everything. So being a busy family actually is a benefit.
International students are people just like everybody else. They have concerns, they have issues, they have desires. They obviously are here because they want to get an education. And it's really been a lot of fun to provide them with some of their basic needs. People are people all across the world. God created all of us, and so it's been a lot of fun to assist them.
We all don't go to the ends of the world, but truly the ends of the world have come to us. And what we learned is that the influence that you can have on a family or an individual that is out of their comfort zone and find themselves totally alone in a foreign country are very, very vulnerable.
Why not take that vacuum and fill it with Christ? Why not fill it with your family? A refugee woman and her daughter would come and talk to Cindy, and she first started calling her Grandma Cindy, and then it was Mama Cindy, and then she started to use the word Habibi. And so she calls Cindy Habibi, which means
Beloved.
A lot of the things that I think we realized were kind of some of the stereotypes or things that you're told about different people in certain countries, and the students that we had were from some of those countries. And then you talk to them, you realize the images or kind of the information that you're fed about those people from those areas or things they think, things they believe, is completely different. And reversely, the conversations they had with us, they oftentimes would, you know, laugh about it and, oh, we always thought in America or Americans, and then you fill in the blanks. And so it was really cool for us to learn from one another.
You learn how to interact with them and ask them questions to get them involved and find out about them. And they seem to really enjoy talking about themselves and their family and what they've done.
We have become their family away, you know, as they are halfway around the world from their blood family back home. So if this sounds interesting to you, our Global Opportunities and Water for Ishmael partners, they make it super easy for us to do this. Your commitment is just to be a friend and do something with them once a month. And it starts up in September, October, the beginning of the school year for them, and it runs through May. And if you know, if you love it, you can continue doing it with those same students, or but you're only committing to 1 year.
If maybe you're thinking you're not prepared for this, maybe you don't think you can do it, I love this verse. Perhaps this is the moment for which you were created. And that's a powerful statement. I believe that God has created us for this moment in time to make a difference.
It was really amazing to listen to all of their stories. I know we only got to share a fraction of that with you this morning, but I encourage you, if you're interested in the opportunity that they have participated in, to connect with them. I know they would love to share about their experiences and how you can be involved as well. In addition to our partners, again, that are out in the W Cafe to speak with you today, we have a prayer list, we have wish list items that you can donate, ways to donate your time and resources, and prayer sheets as well. So all of those are really important. In your sermon notes, there is a handout with the local partners listed for you to pray over them. And then on the back, there's also fall serve opportunities for you as well. So we encourage you to come on out, talk with us. All of this information is also available online and on the app, so check it out. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this space to worship you this morning. We thank you for our partners that spend their time working to further your kingdom and to come alongside people who are in need. Lord, I pray that our church will be called to action, the action of coming alongside our fellow laborer in the field and our fellow man, that we may be conduits of your love to the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Chance when I stand in your stand a chance when I stand in your love.
for this time that we could gather together and worship you. I thank you for all that you are and that we get to be your children. I thank you. Father, I pray that you would be with Pastor Adam this morning as he comes to talk to us about the warfare that is in this world. And I know that, like we said, you are for us, and I thank you for that. I pray that you would help us to be receptive to what you have to say to us this morning and to take it to heart. In your name, amen.
Amen. My name is Pastor Adam Just, adult ministries pastor here at Westgate Chapel, and consider it a privilege and an honor to be sharing God's word with you this morning. Many of you have been praying for the Mongolia missions team that we sent off and prayed for last week, and if you hadn't heard, they did arrive there safely, 12 hours ahead of us, however the time change works, and they are all there with visiting with the Berjevins, and we'll continue to covet your prayers and for them and their time together. So this past week, I went with our youngest son, Nathan, and Nate doesn't know I'm going to talk about him this morning. Nate is our third kid, and Nate and I were out on a walk earlier this past week with our dog April. April is about a 10-year-old white lab, 75, 85 pounds, and pretty strong. And so the three of us were out on a walk, and going along, Nate had April's leash, and she was kind of right by his side, when suddenly there was a change. All of a sudden, she went from kind of moping to definitely more intention. Her ears kind of perked up. Her face looked a little bit more intense, and she started to pull ahead a little bit. And I thought, she either sees a squirrel, a rabbit, maybe a deer. Sometimes they're in the neighborhood, a cat, or probably another person or a dog. She sees something. And I looked up ahead. I couldn't see anything. Couldn't see it. And we're coming around a corner, and she picked up the pace. The leash got really taut. Nate's trying to hold on as strong as he can. She starts whining and ready to bark because she really wants to befriend another dog, but she barks at it, and it's terrifying. But anyway, Nate's holding on as hard as he can, and I'm still looking. I don't see anything. And I asked Nate, do you see something? Of course, she has to, like, be seeing something. And finally, he said, Dad, I think there's another dog, like, way up there. I looked, and he has younger eyes than I do. And I think I saw another person and another dog that she wanted to go say hi to. And it was out of my vision. So this morning, we are going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about something that is normally outside of our vision, and that is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, which is happening all around us, and most of the time we're not aware of it. We don't see it. We're not considering it. And kind of a little definition, spiritual warfare, kind of what's going on around us in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places, isn't always apparent to us. But just like Nate was being tugged and pulled by something that April saw that we couldn't see, we are often the same way. We can get tugged and pulled, influenced, impacted in one way or another by the spiritual world, spiritual realm, what is often unseen around us, and it often can disrupt life in ways that we are aware of or unaware of, but we feel it. It happens. And so in this 4-week series, we're going to be looking at called Battle Ready. 4 Sundays looking through Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And we commonly know this as like the armor of God passage, where we might be familiar with this. So how this will break down is this morning we are going to talk about who the enemy is, knowing who the enemy is. And then next week we'll talk about knowing the enemy's like schemes, plans, methods of battle, of warfare. And then the final 2 weeks we'll talk about how do we prepare for that? How do we engage? How do we battle the enemy with armor and through prayer? Okay, so that's kind of giving you a snapshot of what's going to happen over the next 4 weeks. So let's dive in. If you have your maybe it's appropriately called, if you have your sword with you, open it up to Ephesians chapter 6. It'll also be on the screen, and it's also printed in the sermon notes this morning. And Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So Paul is finishing his letter to this church in Ephesus, to this people in this city called Ephesus, and he's leaving them with this final message about preparing for spiritual warfare. And why? Why does Paul include this? And so some context here, and we'll jump back to and give you a Cliff Notes version of Acts chapter 19. So in the coming weeks, as we continue to work through Ephesians 6, it's good if you can spend some time having some understanding, read Acts 19, kind of on your own, get the full version. I'll give you a Cliff Note version this morning. So Acts 19, Paul is on his third journey, often called the third missionary journey, where he's leaving Jerusalem and he's traveling around with some buddies and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. And some churches are being planted, the gospel is being spread, people are coming to faith and trust in Jesus. And so this is his third trip on this. And he lands in Ephesus, and by road. And he's there, we read, for at least 2 years. And what happens within these 2+ years, there's a lot of spiritual warfare happening and spiritual activity, spiritual warfare. And so when he's writing in Ephesians 6 about spiritual warfare, the people are going to be like, oh yeah, we live this with Paul for the last several years. So obviously this is happening, and he's reminding them, put on the full armor of God. So what are some things happening in Acts chapter 19? First off, when Paul gets there, he then shares and speaks to them the gift about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just like in Acts chapter 2, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon a few, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. So that's kind of one big piece. Also, we read that people are being healed, even by the shadow of a handkerchief of Paul. Illnesses are being cured. It says evil spirits, demons are being driven out. So this is all happening in the midst of the Ephesians. And then this is happening, and there's one Jewish leader, and he kind of wants to be a part of it, and whether he has faith in Jesus or not quite sure. But then he says, I want to try this with another guy who's actively has been influenced by a spirit. The spirit says, I know Jesus, I know Paul, I don't know you, and ends up like attacking and beating this other Jewish leader. And we read that it says, fear and awe and also praise of the Lord like is everywhere in Ephesus around these events. So much so that people are now coming and they're confessing sin They're recognizing that, hey, to be right with God is through Christ, and I admit where we need the Lord, and they're taking some of these practices of life, sinful patterns and behaviors like witchcraft and sorcery and idol worship, and they're burning all these things, having like a get rid of this idol type ceremony, major things are transpiring, spiritual warfare. So it's an amazing turn of events happening. And then finally, a big piece of Acts 19, there is a guy who is a silversmith. Any silversmiths here? Not anymore. A guy named Demetrius, and apologies if anyone's named Demetrius here this morning. It's a good name, not in Acts 19, but overall. Demetrius is this silversmith, and he does not like what is happening because people are turning away from worshiping Artemis, this goddess, the goddess of the hunt, this goddess of kind of warfare, and who's often depicted and symbolized by having a quiver full of arrows and bows, which also may be why Paul writes the armor of God is a shield. All right, so that's a piece for a few coming weeks. But the business for Demetrius is gone downhill. So he gets his other smiths around him, and they are what's Paul doing? And they gather some of his guys, and they, what are you doing? They start this huge riot against Paul, against the way, against Jesus' followers. So much so that the whole town basically shows up, and Paul, after these 2+ years, ends up having to leave Ephesus. So this is what the background is, what happened in Ephesus, and the spiritual warfare that has been happening, what they were engaged in. And so Paul writes, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, who is the enemy? Who is this battle against that we are contending with, that we're wrestling with, that we're going to be fighting? Who is this adversary? Who is this enemy? And Paul says it is against, he used the words against 6 times here, times naming the enemy. Also against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world here, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is who the battle is against. And so what do we know about this enemy? What do we know about these enemies here? One is that they are created. They're created spiritual beings. Now, did God create Satan? This is a question that came up during VBS week. I was like, not prepared to answer that. So what it means by created beings, and so in Psalm 148, you can read that on your own. David writes about how even all the created beings, all the heavenly hosts worship, that they're created. In Colossians chapter 1, also a verse that should be on the screen here for us, verses 15 and 16. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And so the challenge is we can't just turn to one chapter and verse and say, this is the, where they, these Satan and the rulers and authorities, the dark baddies were created. But what we can understand from other portions of passages like Psalms and Colossians is that somewhere in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, when God spoke and created everything, that he also created angels, spiritual beings. Okay? And then somewhere over here in Genesis 3, we commonly refer to this as the fall, somewhere between these events, there was a fall of some of the angels, angels of light. Out of seeking in a prideful way to be elevated equal or greater to than God, where they didn't want to any longer be obedient to the Lord. And so there is a fall, there is a casting down. What we also know about these created dark angels or evil spirits is that they have a desire to steal, to kill, and destroy, that there is a jealousy there of our relationship with God and the Lord's pursuit of us and desire for us. And so there's a desire to disrupt, cause chaos, to prevent that from happening. And how that actually happens is what we'll talk about next week when we look at the schemes, strategies, methods of Satan and the evil spirits. We also need to know that Satan, the evil spirits, they are not omnipotent. There's a certain limit to their power. They're not all-knowing. They're not everywhere. In some ways, as we think about God as all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent everywhere, that's not how Satan and the evil spirits are. And they also need to be obedient to the authority of Christ. And a last little bit, that there is seems to be some sort of structure or order to their organization. You know, Satan being the chief, kind of the head, and there's other rulers, authorities, principalities, dominions, etc. I don't know how it all works. I don't know if it's clearly given. In the same way, angels, we have archangels and cherubim, there's different classifications. So that's what we kind of know about our enemy. That's who Paul says we are against. That's who we're wrestling and contending against. The sixth time that we see the word against, it's not. It says, your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. So if there's one main piece I'd like for you to hear out of this, is the battle is against Satan, forces of evil, not against flesh and blood. This is hard for us. It's hard for me. Because what Paul does, he doesn't write and say, hey, Ephesians, or say, hey, church in Ephesus, our battle is against flesh and blood and definitely against that guy named Demetrius. We need to just push him out, hate him, hold a grudge against him, be bitter about him. He doesn't. That's not who the battle is against. Battle not against flesh and blood. How many times in our lives do we make what we're fighting against somebody else? How many times we want to hold resentment or bitterness towards somebody else, a family member, a coworker, that person that has cut you off as you're driving somewhere and they don't know how fast to really go. We like to hold our focus towards them, the flesh and blood. Paul easily makes this classification, not against flesh and blood. If anybody could have a beef against flesh and blood, it'd be Paul. He doesn't. He spent 2 years there. Demetrius ruined what the work was happening there. There was a riot started to get Paul. And Paul, it's not against him. It's not. Jesus, crucified on the cross, nailed to the cross. What does he say about the soldiers that nailed him to the cross? Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is it against flesh and blood? No. Jesus, when he is in Matthew 16, and he's talking, he's telling his disciples, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised again. And then Peter's over here saying, no, don't let that be. It's not going to happen. And what does Jesus say? Peter, you're a fool. No, he says, get behind me, Satan. And so how much do we make the flesh and blood thing about where our fight is against? And we forget that this person over here is also just like me, just like you, made in the image of God. And just like me, just like you, needs to have the grace and forgiveness and mercy and love of Jesus poured out upon them. This is not who we're fighting against. And we, as Christ followers, should be the leading example of this is how we share God's love toward each other, not join in the pointing of fingers and just joining in the groups of hatred and hate speech and all that. Our fight's over here against the kingdom of darkness. Okay? That's who it is, not against flesh and blood. And so each of us have different times and experience we have engaged in this battle, in spiritual warfare. And I believe, I would say, we are probably engaged every day in the spiritual battle. And like me, with April and Nate, I just couldn't see it. I felt the effects, but I couldn't see it. And maybe like you, you're not really seeing it. And other times we do really see it. One time in my life in which I really was very much aware of this fight and this battle was probably a little over a decade ago. I was serving in another church, and it was a Wednesday evening. I was sitting in the office, and I was getting ready to do our youth group. And one of the young ladies came in, and she's like, oh, Pastor Adam, we need help. We need your help. I was like, well, what's going on? She said, it's my boyfriend. There's something really weird, really bizarre. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, he's up in the youth room. Okay, so we went up to the youth room, and I walk in the door, and I see this young man like pacing back and forth in the shape of like a triangle, just going like this over and over and over again. And when I walked in the room, okay, this is something's happening here. There's something, Holy Spirit in me, it was like, okay, get ready. And I think this is some sort of demonic. And I kept asking, I said, hey, I was saying the young guy's name, he wasn't responding. Finally, I said, you know, what else do you do? I said, I command you, by the power of Jesus, tell me your name. And he kind of did one of these. He was still walking. He stopped and looked at me and says, my name is Adam. And I was like, okay, well, that's my name too. And then he just kept going back and forth again. All right? And so at that moment, fairly afraid and wondering, what do I do? What's going to happen here? I think as important it is for us to know who the enemy is, probably even more important is to know who our God is and who we are. Okay? Who our God is and who we are. So just some reminders this morning. Again, so Ephesians 6 is at the end. It's the last chapter in the letter. If we go to Ephesians 1, Paul spends time building up the church and helping them be rooted in their identity. We sang a great song about that this morning, who we are. A lot of that rooted in Ephesians 1, in the truth of God's word. So Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Does the enemy know that we are blessed? Yes. In the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So who are we? What the position that we are in Christ, the foundation should be unshakable, unmovable of who we are. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. I don't know how many are in the word every, but that's a lot. And some of those spiritual blessings are just knowing that we are chosen. It's not a mistake. You are chosen, you are wanted, you are desired by the creator of the universe to be in relationship with him. And he made a way for that to happen by giving of himself. He died on the cross for us so that we didn't have to. He chose us in Christ. It says, third, holy and blameless is in his sight. In your own walks with Jesus each day, and how much do we struggle with really understanding that, oh, he's made me holy and blameless in his sight. I don't need to live in shame. I don't need to live in fear from God. Fourth, adopted into the family of Christ. We have been brought in, given a new name, a new identity, where we now are sons and daughters of Christ. Later on in verse 13, Ephesians 1 says that you have been sealed, that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Guaranteeing. And fifth, light bearers. That we are light bearers in the power of God. And this is kind of from Colossians 1 and Ephesians 1. That we are now light bearers. That we've been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we get to bring that light into dark places. So if we revisit Ephesians 6 again, verse 10. Finally, is that word. Finally, at the end of chapters 1 through 5, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If we read this, be strong, it means power in the Lord and in his powerful power. It's the third time in Ephesians that there's three powers in a row in one verse. The first time in chapter 1, again in the prayer of chapter 3, and then here in Ephesians chapter 6. So be strong in the power of God, of the Lord. And this is actually a passive participle, meaning it's not something that you have to go and achieve and earn. It is something that is given we receive from the Lord. It's also hard for us to come to grips with and understand. But what about this power? This power that has been given to us, bestowed to us in the Lord. Ephesians 1, 18 through 21, Paul writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, open up your eyes, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Know this hope you have been called to. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Again, this is the power of the powerful power. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. The same power through the Lord that he is bestowing on us is the same power that was present in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you go out each and every day, wherever you are, bearing the light and power of Christ. Not by your own works, right? But through faith in Christ. This is who we are. And so back to this youth room with this young man, and we're engaged in some spiritual warfare. I called one of the elders, and the elder and I and the girlfriend were all here, and Holy Spirit, please lead us. I knew that the word of God is the sword. This is the weapon. This is the truth. I know through Christ we have authority. And so we prayed. I don't know how long it was, maybe a half hour, maybe an hour. I don't quite remember. But we proclaimed God's word. We read God's word. We prayed his power and his authority. And at one moment in time there was, okay, now's the time. And so I reached out my hand as he came around, put my hand on his shoulder, and boom, by the power of Jesus Christ and the authority of Christ, I command you to leave. He was down on the ground. Then there was peace in the room. Again, this is not my everyday. What just happened? I don't know. It seemed to go along with a lot of things that happen in Scripture. And you know, the first song that we sang after the video that talked about being set free and chains free and by the power of Christ. Not just words, but it's truth. And this young man, after a few moments, started to regain his strength and was in his right mind. And we had a lot of follow-up conversations between the four of us and brought other people in, parents in as well. And what led to that? But what I do know is that we have an enemy that does not want good for us. An enemy that is real, but also an enemy that has been defeated with this great tension of and but not yet. And we are followers of Christ with this new identity made new in the Lord. And that is who we are. That is the truth of who we are as today as a church. That we have been made new by the power and the love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Something we don't need to be afraid of. We don't need to be living in fear because who our Father is. And through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. So my invitation to us this morning is to pray and ask that God would open your eyes for you to bring the kingdom of light to knock out and shine into the kingdom of darkness. That we'd be light bearers in a world that desperately needs the light of Jesus Christ. If you would pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are just humbled. We are your humble servants that you have called us your children. And it's out of this great, incomparable, immeasurable, awesome love that I just kind of stand in amazement. And that we have this victory in you, and we proclaim that this morning. That no longer do we need to be afraid or have fear, but we boast and sing in you, Jesus Christ. For you have done it all for us. We thank you for the church. We thank you that we're not alone. Thank you for this body of believers. And we pray that you would strengthen us for the journey and the work and the mission ahead that you have for us. Give us the vision to engage in this battle and prepare us to do so. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Song of deliverance.
Of worship this morning, this topic of spiritual warfare, it might churn up a lot in your life, and we invite you to receive prayer this morning and talk with some of our folks over here. Rob and Kathy, are you in the prayer room as well this morning? So Kristen over here, just come on down over here and they'll walk you back to our prayer room and just be prayed for. Just receive God's love and blessing through the prayers of your brothers and sisters. I invite you to do that. As you leave this morning, if you are newer to Westgate, just stop on outside our guest center. We'd love to meet you. And also there are offering buckets in the back for any tithes and offerings this morning. So finally, brothers and sisters in Christ, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Through the love of the Father, through the grace of the Son, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.